Memories of Peter Isaacson. By President Thorpe Isaacson, grandson. Thorpe Isaacson was born on September 6, 1898 in Ephraim, Utah, to Peter's son Martin Isaacson and Mary Jemima Beale. He was ordained a high priest by Charles A. Callis, sustained as second counselor to presiding Bishop LeGrand Richards at age 48, sustained as first counselor to presiding Bishop Joseph L. Worthlin at age 54. He was sustained as counselor in the first presidency at age 67, released at death of President David O. McKay 18 January, 1970, resumed position as assistant to the 12 apostles January 23, 1970. He died 9 November 1970 at age 72. Some months ago, at the request of Aunt Maria Isaacson Whiting, I was requested to give some remarks as to my memory of the life of Peter Isaacson. Since I made these remarks, Aunt Maria Isaacson Whiting has requested me to attempt to put them in writing. First, I deem it an honor to speak of Grandfather Isaacson, because I regard him as the best good man I ever knew. Peter Isaacson left his parents in a foreign land when he was a young boy, and worked his way across the big ocean to come to a country of freedom. He left his parents, his brothers, and his sisters and his country for freedom of worship. Peter Isaacson became a great man. Not in wealth, but if we measure greatness according to its merits, according to deeds of greatness, Peter Isaacson lived and died a great man. Peter Isaacson possessed the characteristics of greatness. He was lovable, kind, considerate, honest, clean, industrious, sincere, and courageous. As to stature, he was not a large man, but he was strong and healthy. He had a disposition that was unblemished. I lived close to him, and slept in his room with him many nights. He had a disposition which was unruffled, calm, and easy. I was 21 years of age when he died. His disposition was one of calmness and sweetness. I never saw him mad or angry in any way in my life. Nor did he ever say unkind things to or about anyone. Peter Isaacson was a man of obedience. Never did he question authority, either authority of his church or of his government. He did what he was told unwaveringly and without question or doubt. He lived and died full of hope and faith. Peter Isaacson enjoyed doing his duty. It appeared as little or no effort to him to do his duty, to follow instructions and to obey authority. Knowing Aunt Maria Whiting, I see many resemblances of Peter Isaacson in her personality, in her disposition, and her characteristics. I am happy and grateful for the memory of Aunt Maria Whiting and her father, Grandfather Peter Isaacson. I have detected and honored many characteristics of a brother of mine, Alonzo Isaacson, who died of the flu in 1918. He too possessed many of Grandfather Isaacson's characteristics and mannerisms. Peter Isaacson was a man well grounded in fundamentals of religion, not a fanatic, but religion of well-grounded principles. He was no showman, nor did he bluff. His religion was practical, one of honor, one of faith, and one of obedience. Grandfather Peter Isaacson was a man of neatness. He always wanted his hair combed, and always wanted his bed and his room and clothes straightened. He kept his wood stack clean and the wood piled in order, and one piece upon the other. He never liked or lived in a mess of any kind of matter. He indeed was a man of neatness, order, and cleanliness. He kept his cows and his barn just as clean as a pin, and again I can truly say it appeared easy for him to do his duty. He was indeed a man of order and routine. I well recall an accident where he lifted a heavy pole and burst a blood vessel in his arm. He lost a great deal of blood before he got into the house, and I was deeply impressed because of his being entirely free from all alarm, no fear whatsoever of anything, not even death. Free from fear of all kinds, and nature of course, gave him good health and long years of life. Many times I have heard him pray to die when his years of usefulness reached an end. He was not afraid of death. Complaint was not a word in his vocabulary, nor did it have a space in his life. He never complained about sickness, business, or any other inconvenience in his life. Gratitude was a part of his religion and part of his daily life. He was grateful to anyone, whenever they called on him. He was grateful to his friends for their visits, He always thanked my mother, who waited on him for years, and my father and we grandchildren for every little act of kindness that we might have extended to him. He always thanked me, always smiled, and always was appreciative for every little thing. Faith was unlimited in his nature. I cannot account for his doing some of the things he did without having faith in abundance. He first left the old country, then he crossed the plains and fought the Indians, and still later he moved from San Pete County to Arizona to settle. He loved adventure, but all this was because of his unbounded faith. Prayer to him was his whole life. He had no equal in the simplicity of prayer. He had no equal in the sincerity and in the humbleness of his talks to God. His life was very close to his Maker. He talked to his God in earnestness. As to his love for his fellow men, this was without question and to a great degree. He loved his fellow men, his neighbors, and his friends. He never spoke unkindly about them. I doubt if he ever had an enemy, and am positive he never hurt anyone either intentionally or unintentionally. His sincerity was superb. He always paid his bills promptly. Never did he go in debt and he never evaded an issue, but he disliked arguments and frowned upon quarrels or discontent. His long life was one of health and peace of mind, a perfect full life indeed. He lived and he died with a clear conscience, and with perfect peace of mind. Peter Isaacson was a man of learning, if we judge learning from experience. He was a well-read man. He was a student of reading, and he remembered what he read, because he had a clear mind and an open heart. He had the ailments of old age which were not comforting. His blood became out of order, had a very tantalizing ish, and in the middle of the night, he would ask us to put some salve on his back or legs, and was always so pleasant about it, that one enjoyed being of some little assistance to him. He was a student of gospel broadened by his faith, developed because of his efforts, and he lived by example. There was no insincerity and he was a model for example. The morning of his death, which was June 1920, it was a perfect example of leaving this sphere of action, and he left peacefully. He appeared grateful for this having had the privilege of living all those years which were indeed full years. Every kin of Peter Isaacson can well be proud of that heritage. He left them nothing but worthy good. We are all proud of this heritage and proud of his life. We loved him dearly and we deeply appreciate his sacrifices, and we will attempt to value his sweet memory.